Hi, you're listening to the Hope Church Sermon Podcast. At Hope, our mission is to help people know God, find freedom, discover their purpose, and make a difference. Now, join us as we listen in on a sermon from last Sunday. It is our hope that you feel God's love stronger today than ever before.
Hey, well, good morning. Welcome to Hope Church. We're really, really glad you're here today. If you're visiting Hope Church for the very first time, I want you to know you're really glad you're here. If you take a moment today and you would click on that or you would scan that QR code on the seat in front of you, or it's going to be up on the screen on your left or your right, we'd love to be able to connect with you. There's so much going on at Hope Church, and we'd love for you to be a part of all of it. I've said this the last few weeks, and I'm going to say it one more time, but I feel like so many times you go places and you're like, I don't know if they have a seat for me. I don't know if they have a table for you. Or if you go to a restaurant and you get there late, which some of you guys, you're perpetually late, but you get there late, you know who you are. I'm not judging anybody this early in the morning, but you know who you are. I don't know who you are, but you know who you are. And you get there late, and you're like, oh, there's not a seat for me. There's not a seat for me. There's nothing worse than that. And I want to let you know, see, at this church, there's a seat for you, and you're welcome to be here. And so we want to look, if you connect with us, we want to be able to connect with you. And we know this about life. Life is better when we do it together. So if you would take a moment and fill out that connect card, we'd love to be able to connect with you. Two, Easter's coming. You guys have these Easter invites. I want to encourage you. You can grab these on the way out today. You can grab these at the kiosk out front. But we would love for you to bring a friend with you to church. Statistics say, I don't know who made the statistic up, but they say 80% of people would come to church on Easter or come to church if they were invited. And so I want to encourage you to bring a friend with you. We want you to bring a friend with you to Easter. You know someone who doesn't go to church. I went to a community group this week, and I don't know if this community group is the worst community group or the best community group. I'm not exactly sure, but I popped in on a community group. It's on Saturday mornings. It's at 6 a.m. The requirement is that you got to wake up early, which that's pretty tough in itself. You got to bring a backpack with you, like not with snacks in it. You put weights in the backpack, a 20-pound vest, and you go out and walk. They said it won't be that bad. It'll be fun. It's community, and it's only a couple of miles. But next thing you know, you're two hours or 5 miles in. And I went to the community group, so I don't know if it's the best or the worst, but I liked it, and I had a good time. And I believe that I'm just thankful Lance leads that group, and I'm so thankful I got to go to that group and got to visit it. And just being with guys and getting to know what God is doing in other people's lives, just cool. And then at the end, we got to do a Bible study together and pray together. And I love praying with my friends. And so, so bring somebody with you. When I got out of that community group, I walked over. I feel like I earned biscuits and gravy from the Winter Garden Diner. That's how all my groups revolve around. Like, if I put work in, I where's the food at, you know? And so I feel like I get to go eat. But I didn't go crazy. I only got a half order of biscuits and gravy, and I put the egg on top of it, you know what I'm saying, to make it healthy, you know? Like, I'm all about balance, you know what I'm saying, balance and moderation. And so I got to invite the waitress there to our Easter service. And as I was getting ready to pay, someone from church walked in, and Kristen walked in from church, and she's like, you know her? And I'm like, I know her now. And I just want to encourage you to bring somebody with you to Easter. It's going to be an incredible, incredible time. And then last but not least, if you're here today, you're like, I want to get more plugged into Hope Church. Next Steps happens right after church today. You picked a good day to be here, because right after this service, you can go right next to you. You can get to know all that there is to know about Hope Church. If you want to get plugged in and be a part of what God is doing at this church, we want to invite you to be a part of Next Steps. And I don't know about you guys, but if you have a gym membership, it works better if you actually go to the gym. You ever noticed that before? And this church is a good church. It's not a perfect church, but it's a good church. It's better when you get involved. It's better when you're a part of it. And there's literally a place for everybody in here today. All of you guys that are sitting in a chair in here today, you're sitting in that chair because Mark came last night. Mark set that chair for you. And man, he's getting better at it. You're getting better at it. You're getting better at it, or I'm chilling the heck out. One of the two. I think it's. I want to give myself the credit, you know. Mark comes in, and so there's literally a spot for you to be here at this church. And so, just thankful for all the dream team that makes all this happen. And then last but not least, I'm the announcement guy today. Also, we believe in generosity at Hope Church. I just want to thank you guys for your giving. Your giving literally does change the world. And it literally allows us to be all around the world, serving and doing ministry all over the place. So thanks for giving, and I just know that God's going to use that. It goes so much further than you can imagine, and we're reaching young people. I really feel like God's got a unique, special anointing on this church, and what he anoints, he has to also resource. What he anoints, he has to also resource. So I just want to encourage you, and thank you guys for resourcing what God is doing right here at this church. I want to switch over to Chasing Carrots. We started a series last week called Chasing chasing carrots. And so every week I've got to go to the produce store and buy these carrots. And then when I get to second service, I announce the fact that I don't eat carrots like this. Mine come in a can. It's way easier. That's how my mom taught me with six kids. It's just faster, I guess. And so back in the day, but you know, we have these carrots and I give them away in second service. So I feel like I'm doing a good thing. I feel like I'm, you know, I feel like I'm using it to perpetuate the gospel, and then I'm serving someone by helping them have a healthy meal. But these carrots have been our object lesson for this series. It's called Chasing Carrots. And this is an agricultural use, or back in the day, I don't know how long back in the day was. You could determine how far back in the day was. But in agricultural settings, they would use these carrots, and they would put them on a stick, and they'd put them out in front of the donkey, and the donkey would chase the carrots, and it would pull the wagon to take the produce to the grocery store or to the market, or use it to plow the field. And so this would be out there. And unfortunately, the donkey never, ever got the carrot while he was chasing. But the reality is that he would get it eventually. But he also knew he liked carrots, and he never, ever caught on that just chasing the carrots never, ever got him the carrots. And what we found out about history and about our culture is that all of us in here today, at some point in our life, we're chasing carrots. We've used this quote the last few weeks. I want to use it two more times or three more times, or as long as we use this series. But we use this quote. It said this: human history is the long, terrible story of man trying to find something other than God which will make him happy. Man, if you don't go, you don't have to go very far to realize everyone's chasing something. Everyone is chasing something. If they're not chasing something, then they're chasing someone. We're always chasing. We use that. The Bible says that there's a man or woman, they're always chasing something. It's either the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, or the pride of the life. Gold, glory, or girls, or gold, glory, or guys. We're always chasing. We can kind of sum up those three things. Whatever you're chasing, it kind of fits in all those things, and we'll do anything to get those things. And unfortunately, we've been around long enough, some of us in here that have lived life long enough, you realize that you never get the carrot, but when you get the carrot, you find out that it doesn't satisfy you. It doesn't fill you up. It doesn't matter what it is, whether it's the gold or the glory or it's the relationship, it never, ever quite fills us up. But we keep on chasing, and all throughout history, we see men and women chasing after things that when they get it, it leaves them more and more empty. And I love this series, and I dislike this series all at the same exact time, because every single one of us fit in the category of one of these three things where we're chasing. And so week one, we looked at this, we asked ourselves this question: what am I chasing? And I want to encourage you, if you're new to this environment, I want to ask you the question, to ask God the question: God, what am I chasing? And I believe that we have a God that if we knock, then he answers. And if we seek him, then we find him. And if we call upon the name, that he answers. I want to let you know today, if you ask him, God, what am I chasing? I believe that he will reveal to you what it is that you're chasing. And you need it revealed to you what you're chasing. If not, you'll keep on chasing. And you'll be in that rat wheel, chasing and chasing. Then week two, we ask ourselves the question, God, why am I chasing that? Why am I chasing that? You know what I know about every one of you guys in the room in here today? Every single one of you guys, including me, we've all had some sort of trauma in our life. Matt, who goes to church here, he always tells me we're a product of our, we're a sum total of all of our past experiences. And some of us have had some good experiences, but some of us have had some terrible experiences. Every single one of us in here today. And so some of the reasons why we're chasing the thing is because we have a void inside of our life and we're trying to fill it. We had some kind of trauma or some kind of situation that we came across. And so what am I chasing? Why am I chasing? And I'm here to give you some good news today. I want to ask the question today and give you the answer. What should I be chasing? Thank you, Pastor Wes. Because Solomon is so, it's so drudgery. He's so depressed in this story. We're going to read more of his story. And we've read chapter 1 and chapter 2 and chapter 3. And all of them is just him chasing. Him going, this is just terrible. I've tried everything and it's just terrible. And that sounds crazy, because how can you try everything and still be miserable? Well, I can illustrate that very, very well to you. Some of you guys in here today, you go to Thanksgiving and you have to try everything, which isn't bad. It's not bad. But you can't try everything like it's just one thing. You have to try everything like just portions. You ever got, some of you guys, you get to Thanksgiving, you're like, well, one plate's not enough. I'll go ahead and knock this out, and I'll run back, grab a second plate, and I'll fill up both of them. And then you sit down, and I'm like, what you really needed was like a tray to sit out in front of you. You needed a tray. You're like, but what happens when you eat all those things, you're like, you're so full. It tasted so good. It's not that bad. But too much of it, you're like, it makes me a little bit sick. It tasted so good, and a little bit is good, but then we keep on going. I wrote down four titles for this message today. I know, going from no titles to four titles, that sounds scary, doesn't it? A couple thoughts about today is that I wanted to title this message today, we're running out of time. We're running out of time. You don't really have long to figure out what it is that you're chasing. You got to figure it out. Because if not, you walk around, and when you go from that, to, man, I'm sick, to, I'm going to go take a nap. Come on, how many of you know, just Thanksgiving nap? Are we getting close to Thanksgiving, or is it just, am I hungry today? I don't know. Are these carrots making me hungry? We're running out of time. Second thought I had today was that clock's ticking. Man, James chapter 4, verse 14, the Bible says that life is but a vapor. You're here today, and you're gone tomorrow. It's a vapor. Another thought I had was fourth quarter, I like football. One of the reasons I like football, because we get to the fourth quarter, everybody puts their hand up, and they have the four up. Everyone's like, fourth quarter. And everybody knows, because they want everybody to know, hey, we gotta push for 12 more minutes. We gotta push for eight more minutes. Seventh inning, hey, come on, we gotta go one more inning. We got to finish this thing strong. Let's finish this thing really, really strong. And then another title I thought was also this. I thought this might work for some of you guys. Maybe it won't. Maybe it's for the second service. I don't know. But the fourth title is Shoot Your Shot. Shoot Your Shot. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 leads us into Ecclesiastes chapter 3. For everything, there is a season. Come on, we use the word season. I don't know. I'll give you a little heads up today. The word season's going out. Like, we've used that word for 7 years, but now people are going, seasons are overrated. Now it's it's all based on mainstream communicators or whatever social media is telling us. But like, seasons, man, I'm like, hey, it's just a season. I would venture to guess if you sit across the table from me, I've told everyone in the room today, hey, it's just a season. And I feel now that people are going, man, because what happens is we're kind of going, me, a lot of people, well, Pastor West, I've been in this season for a long time. This season, I don't know, Pastor West, this season, it feels like all four seasons, Groundhog Day. For everything, there's a season. There's a time for literally every activity under heaven. Like, you're gonna go through every season. It happens in church. There's four seasons throughout the year. Our church goes through four seasons. There's seasons where we're growing. I've learned, I don't know about you, but I'm getting to the point now where I'm in a men's Bible study also on Tuesday morning. It's at 7 a.m. It's a little bit more godly than 6 a.m., but I just realized that I learned in that group there that I used to hate the word pruning, but you know what I like now? I like being pruned. You want to know why I like being pruned? Because the Bible says that branches that bear fruit, they get pruned, and then once they get pruned, they bear more fruit. So if you're in a season where you're like, I'm getting pruned, Pastor West, I'm not going to lie to you. It hurts, but I'm thankful for it. But you don't like that. You don't like that. Nelson, we lead people to Christ. We don't go, hey, just so you know, it's going to get worse if you trust Christ as your Savior. But the good news is he's going to be there with you. Who would want to get saved with that? We say, ask Jesus to come in your life. He'll save you of all your sins. You're lost and you can be found, and you're dead, but you can come alive. You trust Jesus as your Savior. I want to trust you as Savior. But then you read Ecclesiastes and you're like, hey, it's going to be terrible. And they were like, but it's okay because God's going to be with you. And we're like, and that's good news if you're spiritually mature. But if you're new to the game, you're like, I don't know. I'm not sure I want this. And what happens is that people don't lock in those seasons and they go, I'm out of here. We get saved. We're like, I'm going to go to heaven, but I do not want what comes with. I don't want the persecution. We don't leave people to Christ and go, Paul said, count it a joy when you fall into tough times. Blessed are those. you know, who go through tribulation. We don't say that. All throughout the Bible uses the word endure, 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 persevere, persevere, persevere. So everything. So here's good news. There's a time to be born. Here's the good news. You can check off. You've got that. Here's more good news. There's also a time to die. You can't check that off today because you're still here. There's a time to be born. There's a time to die. There's a time to plant, and there's a time to harvest. We told our team this past week, we have staff meeting literally right there. We tell our team, like, you have to, like, navigate these things, and you have to label things correctly. Labels matter, by the way. Labels matter, by the way. I tell our team, like, hey, when we're setting this church up, this is part of our calling. This is those chairs, they're part of our calling. Picking that trailer up is part of the calling. Every church plant has to start portable. It's a season that you go to. But I believe there's been seasons where we're like, man, God, where are you at? But there's been seasons of harvest. There's been seasons of planting. There's been seasons where we're pulling weeds. Come on, and no one likes to pull weeds. Unless you just like the sun, or you like to get away from your kids. Come on. I'm about to plant a garden just for that reason. I walked outside yesterday, had my lunch outside underneath a shade tree. And I'm out there by myself, and I'm eating my lunch. Donnie goes, did you put yourself in timeout? I'm like, it's so quiet out here. It's just nice. Makes me feel good. I think this is what heaven's going to be like. And then one of the kids always walks out. Dad, watch this. Dad, watch this. There's a season for everything. There's a time to kill, and there's a time to heal. We've all been through seasons where we feel like we experienced both of those. There's a time to tear down. There's a time to build up. Have you ever been torn down before? You don't like that, do you? But the good news is that once you're torn down, you get to be built back up again. Come on, I need to talk to you about something. You're like, oh, shoot. But then you get built up. Everybody likes the building up wouldn't be as awesome if you didn't have the tear down first. You know what I'm saying? All of my mentors have had to be on me my whole life. I've had the same mentor my whole life. And because God knew that I would need people, but I've had to be broken down. I've had a lot of lessons on humility. A lot of lessons on humility, more than I'd like to talk about today. There's a time to cry and there's a time to laugh. Come on, some of y'all are like, I had that. I love the story of the lady, she came to our church. She's like, man, Pastor West, oh, I'm so glad that's over with. I'm like, wow, what happened? She's like, I have cried for like every single Sunday for 6 months straight. When I come to church, I no longer cry no more. It feels so nice. Sometimes you gotta cry that stuff out of there. There's a time to laugh. There's a time to grieve. There's a time to dance. Some of y'all shouldn't dance, but some of y'all should dance. If you can dance, if you've been gifted with that gift, you should do it. Because some of you guys, your dancing makes other ones of us cry, you know what I'm saying, or makes us grieve. And so you just got to know your role. I'm not pointing fingers. I'm just telling you. I'm not a great dancer. I'm not a great dancer. I'm half black. I didn't get the full rhythm. I didn't get full rhythm. There's a time to scatter stones, and there's a time to gather stones. There's a time to embrace, and there's a time to turn away. There's some things, I don't know if you've ever noticed this before, but here's a word that we used here before, but some people that have got you to this point, they're not going with you to the next point. Some people are there for a reason, and some people are there for a season. Come on. You need that. I'm so thankful for the people. I'm always trying to figure out, man, what is God doing with this relationship? I hang out with a guy that's new to our church. He goes, I'm just going to encourage you. Truth is, he's not here today. He probably will watch online. He's encouraged me he's done a lot of encouraging, but he's also challenged me. I feel like it was a setup. I like it though. I don't know because you can't go, I'm going to challenge you. I remember our first coffee. I don't know. You didn't like it. You remember that? You didn't love it. I mean, you might have liked it, but you didn't love it. It was like our first coffee was like a little bit of a boxing match. And now we can't wait to get on the phone with each other. Hey, man. And I'm always going, man, you remember that first time? You know, I'm always thinking about that, you know? You don't like that. Matt is here today, and Matt and I been together in community for 33 years we've been in community. He's not 30. It feels like forever. But I'm like, hey, can we get coffee? Like, that could sound like a really nice thing if I asked you to get coffee. But it also could come with, dang, I got coffee with Pastor West. How'd that go? You know what I'm saying? The same thing for me. When I go meet with certain people, and I was like, how'd that go? I'm like, it's good. I thought it was good. I thought it went pretty good. Yesterday, Diane and I have a coach. She didn't make the coaching call this week, but I did. And she's like, how'd it go? I said, it was great. What did he tell you? I said, a lot. He just told me, get me along those things that I could do better. You know, like, I'm thankful for that. Because you got to have proximity before you have that challenge. You need that. You need people in your life spurring you on. You need someone spurring you on. You know the if you don't have the carrot in front of you, you got a whip on your tail. You know what I'm saying? Like, what would you rather chase the carrot? You know, like, or have like that prodding. Like, you need that. If you see those horse jockeys that are racing those horses, they are whipping the heck out of those horses to make them go faster. We all need that. It makes us better. I see some of you guys at coffee shops with some of you guys, with different ones of you guys. I'm like, they're encouraging, I'm sure, but they're also challenging. They're also challenging. Get into a community group. It'll be fun, they said. A time to search. There's a time to quit searching. A time to keep, and there's a time to throw away. Some of y'all need to throw some stuff away in your life. If your garage looks, I'm not pointing fingers. My garage is full. Some of you guys, I'm glad your garage is full because it has decorations for the church inside of it. Don't clean your garage out. It saves the church a lot of money. We have two storage units. I talk bad about storage units, but the church has two storage units. We've got so much stuff. And it's like, there's some things you gotta throw away. Verse 7, there's a time to tear and there's a time to mend. That's how muscles are built. A time to be quiet and there's a time to speak. I've had to learn this verse. This is like a life verse for me. There's a time to talk. There's a time to listen. Because I got the talk part, I've got that nailed down. There's been seasons I was hanging out with a guy, got in close communion with him, and he goes, hey, I was observing him. And I'm like, man, this guy's like 50 years old. He's wise. He's been saved for like 20 years. I'm like, this guy's so wise. And then I realized, dang it, he doesn't talk a lot. And I'm like, why does he talk a lot? And I'm like, well, then I realized, oh, because when he's with me, he can't get a word in. Come on. That's why you can't talk. I had to diagnose. I'm getting smarter. My friend Ricky is here today, and I did his wedding a month ago, and we've had breakfast a couple times, and I'm like, I just like sitting with him because I'm like, this guy, he's wise. And it would do our generation, it would do a lot of this generation, it would do us all well if we got better at listening. You're not going to change someone's mind by just broadcasting to their face. I used to do that all the time. Now I like to ask questions. Why do you think you feel like that? Let me help you diagnose why you're wrong. You know what I'm saying? That's kind of what I'm doing. No, I'm kidding. I'm like, why do you think? Carvel is a wise man. He leads a community group. He's wise. He's always asking questions. I'm like, I need to be asking you the questions. It would do us all well to sit and to listen. There's a time to love and there's a time to hate. Some of you are like, perfect, because I hate some people right now in my life. This is great. I'm in. Like, there's a time for war and there's a time for peace. Our country has experienced all those things. He's going, hey, there's a time for everything. Whatever it is. There's a phrase, there's nothing new under the sun. We get that out of Ecclesiastes. There's nothing new under the sun. Like, man, Pastor West, that was a cool idea. There's nothing new under the sun. There's literally, oh man, that C.S. Lewis quote, that's awesome. I don't know where he got that from. He might have got that from somebody else. Diana's dad, he's savage. The first time that he would quote somebody, he would use quotes. The second time that he would do it, he would say, I heard somebody once say. The third time he would say, like I always say. You know what I'm saying? Like, you just need to, you get to those points. There's nothing new. There's all these seasons, guys. Church, family, hope, like, we're all gonna go through all of these seasons. We had several babies born last week. We will be at funerals this year. Like, there's literally every single season. We all go through them. There's literally a time for everything. And then he goes a little bit further. He goes, well, what do people really get for all their hard work? Because some of you guys are really, really hard workers. And it's not bad. It's not bad that you're a hard worker. But it's like, what are you working for? What is your why behind that? I got to spend time with Lance yesterday. She goes, I don't know. I guess I'm going to retire. And then once I retire, I'm just going to go serve Jesus somehow. And I'm like, goals. Diana asked me, what about retirement? I'm like, I don't even know. Like, I just can't imagine not doing this. I'm gonna do this forever. I'm just gonna keep on loving people and keep on serving people. I was at the bar yesterday, at the breakfast bar. It's not the same as the Saturday night bar, it's different, but I was at the bar top counter, and the lady at the church goes, you know that guy? And I go, no. I just don't want anybody to go to hell on my watch. So I do know this, while I'm here, I'm gonna be making sure people go to heaven. I wanna populate heaven and depopulate hell. That's what I wanna do while I'm here. And so whether I'm doing it as a pastor or whether I'm doing it as a guy that works at Disney 3 days a week, I thought about it. It's the happiest place on earth. I'm just here for my benefits. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's kind of why I already have my why. I've got the why attached to it. You know what I'm saying? Here for health insurance. Come on in. It's the happiest place on earth. I think church is the happiest place on earth. All of us get not, not too many of us believe in that, but just, I feel like that. I don't care what you guys feel like, apparently. I'm giving all I got today, Jess, and I just figured that was I thought that maybe people would be excited, more than eight of us, you know? And the eight that said yeah, they're on the setup team. They're on the setup team. I would think if you were on the setup team, you'd be like, yeah, this place is awesome. I love when people walk in and go, how did all this? It's hard for you to fathom this is a gym tomorrow until you are here at the very beginning of it and you see it go up. It's hard to fathom. What do people get for all their hard work? I have seen the burden God has placed on us all, yet God has made everything beautiful for its own time. Everything is beautiful for its own time. God's planted eternity in the human heart, but even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. That verse, you need that someone needed that verse right there. You need that for your worldview. Because some of you guys are gonna go through something tomorrow and you're gonna go, I do not know why that happened. And the good news is that God does. And he's got a big picture. And unfortunately, you're just a small part of this universe. I know. It doesn't feel good. Pastor West called me small. You are. You're small. You're in the grand scope of this cosmos, we're just a small part of it. There are 7 billion of us. But one of the reasons why we chase stuff is because we think so highly of ourselves. Look at what Carvel said it, and then another person said it to me just yesterday. He said, I've heard this from multiple people, not just him, but three or four people said to me, I think the church is spiritually obese. He said, we have all this information, but we're not doing anything with it. I'm glad they said it, not me, because I wouldn't come to church where the pastor said that to me. You know what I'm saying? They said it. That's what I've heard people say. God's telling us, man, he's put eternity in our heart. I don't have to go any further than the message. Well, I am almost done. I got to be done. But that's, obviously, he gives the Great Commission in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, he's going, I put eternity in man's heart. Man's not going to know eternity's in their heart until we help them find it out. It's our job to help them go, hey, did you know the thing you're chasing? You're chasing eternity, and only God can fix that. So let me finish the message, the scripture. Yet God has made everything beautiful, verse 12. So I concluded. Yes, there's a conclusion. Everybody likes a conclusion. By the way, if a pastor says conclusion, that they're just trying to re-engage you guys. So I concluded there's nothing better than to be happy and enjoy ourselves as long as we can, and people should eat and drink and enjoy the fruits of their labor, for these are gifts from God. Verse 14, those are gifts from God. Everything you got is a gift from God. Everything you have is a gift from God. And I know, verse 14, and I know that whatever God does is final. And I know whatever God does is good. And I know that whatever God does is for my good. And it's for his glory. I know that. Do you know that? Because he's going, I know that. I'm chasing all these things. But you know what? I know what I know for sure. There's a little bit of hope. I know that God's got all this figured out. He's got a plan. I know that God is sovereign, which means he's in control of life. I know he's in control. My life may be out of control, but God's not out of control. He goes, I know that. I know. I know I sound depressed. I know that I'm a womanizer. I know that I've tried all the drugs and I've abused everything you can abuse. I know that I'm consumed with my money. I'm a king. I know that I got all these issues. I know that I've got anxiety issues. I'm self-medicated. All things that we see in our culture today, This guy represents our whole entire culture. All of us. You're like, dude, you need a counselor. He's like, I got all the issues. Aren't you so thankful you only have a few issues? He has all of our issues into one person. He's going, I know. Whatever God does is final. Nothing can be added or taken away from it. God's purpose is that all people should fear God. There's a book out called The Awe of God. You ought to read it. The thing that the church is missing today, not Hope Church, but Church, Big C Church, is that we're missing the awe and the fear of God. Big time pastor went to jail years ago, 60s, 70s, big time name guy. If I said him, you know his name. And preacher went to go visit him. And he got there, he goes, why'd you call me? He goes, because I read your book. And he goes, oh man. He's like, can I help you? He's like, yeah, I just wanted you to pray for me. He's like, I love to pray for you. He goes, but can I ask you a question? Why did you? He asked the guy behind bars, the pastor, big name. He goes, why'd you do what you do? He goes, because I quit fearing God. Dude, if you fear God, that's a game changer. I can motivate you, inspire you all you want. That ain't gonna last forever. That'll last you till lunch today. But if you get the awe of God, you're just like, phew. Chris leads a group and he's like, oh, this is the book that we're reading. So I got the book. And I'm like, dang, this book, like if everyone in our church read this book and applied it, it all came from this book, by the way. So if we just all read this book and apply it, the same thing would be true. All this, I'm like, oh, this guy just basically told, he's basically just telling us what the Bible says in a book. Isn't it crazy? It's crazy that pastors, Christian, it's crazy that there's Christian literature that came from this Christian literature. And yet we buy that Christian literature, but we can just read this Christian literature and apply this Christian literature. We wouldn't have to buy all the books. Now the books aren't bad, go buy the books. Lance recommended a book this week. I recommended Lance a book. The books aren't bad. But this book, it's the living word of God. It is God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. I'm going to finish the scripture. Where am I at? Verse 15. Only got one more. Might as well finish it. You know what I'm saying? What is happening now? Oh, this is good. Kind of not. What is happening now has happened before. And what will happen in the future? It's happened before. Because God makes the same things happen over and over again. Two thoughts on this passage of scripture today. I hope you're liking this series because we're just literally reading the Bible and applying it. And you do the same thing at your house tomorrow, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. You're going to have to chase something because it's in our nature to chase. We just need to start chasing the right things. And we need to start chasing them right now. We need to chase the right things right now. Right now. We don't have any time to waste. Lost people don't have time for you and I to figure out why we're chasing, why we're not chasing. They don't have time for that. Every single day. Every single day, somebody passes away. Every single day. They don't have time. What if they pass by you? What if they pass by me? What if they're sitting next to us at the restaurant? They don't have time. They don't have time for us to be chasing all these other things. So let me give you two things that we should chase. Say, here it is. Number one, it's time to chase the kingdom. I know. And that's early on in my ministry, I'd be like, it's time to chase the kingdom. Come on, man, let's go and walk up the stage. But then I realized none of you guys know what's inside the kingdom. Some of you do. Some of you, when I said, you knew exactly what I was talking about. When I said kingdom, you're like, I got it. Because a lot of people are building their kingdoms. We're chasing our kingdom. But it's time to chase God's kingdom. Well, Pastor Wes, what is in God's kingdom? It's people. That's in the kingdom. Here's a Matthew 6. And by the way, God is so good and he's so generous. That's why we're generous. That's why I want to be generous. I want you to be generous because God's generous. and he's so good, and he's so loving, and he's so kind to us. We could be here all day talking about the attributes of God. I'm so glad he's good to me. Here's what he says about the kingdom. Because there's kingdom language all throughout Scripture. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, seek the kingdom of God. You want to seek the kingdom of God. And when you do, all of these things will be added unto you. Now, I don't have time to unpack all these things, but here's what I want you to know. All these things, it means all these things. God has so much more in store for you. You're never going to get it chasing carrots. You're never going to get it. You're never going to get it. The next zero, the next relationship, sometimes those are the same exact thing. Come on, have you ever dated a zero before? You're just a guy, you're just like, or girl, you're like, ah, they don't have it. Come on. Come on. I know. That's for some. While we're laughing, someone's going, man, that was for me. That was for me. Some losers out there. Some losers out there. Some losers out there. Why is that funny? Come on, there's just some losers out there. They don't love Jesus. They don't care about, they're chasing things that are not in the kingdom. I think people reside in the kingdom. Like, I think the thing that God wants in the kingdom is more lost people inside the kingdom. Like, when they get in the kingdom, they won't be lost, but you get the point. Like, he wants us to go out. We should go after what matters. People matter, God. That's what matters. In God's kingdom, people matter. Freeway matters. We're going there this weekend. Honduras matters. Our team that's going to Africa, it matters. Whatever you guys have brought in for the Bring It series today, the socks. Kingdom matters. Guy texted me yesterday, Pastor West, what do we do with people who are physically abused? He's an Uber driver that goes to our church. He said, I helped a lady really quick get all of her stuff out, and I took her to the airport in front of us picking her up. He goes, I need to know how to help her because I didn't realize being an Uber driver I was gonna have to help people. That's kingdom. In the kingdom, you help people, you serve people, you love people. In the kingdom. In the kingdom, we different. This season, godly things are inside the kingdom. Whatsoever is lovely, whatsoever is pure. Fruit of the Spirit, that's in the kingdom. That stuff, we need to chase stuff that's in the kingdom. Well, Pastor West is anti-stuff. No, I have lots of stuff. I'm not anti-stuff. I'm anti-stuff owning us, but I'm not anti-stuff. It's time to chase the kingdom. Here's the second thing. It's time to chase the king. So here's a kicker. If you chase the king, you're gonna figure out what the kingdom is. You'll figure it out. You need to chase the king. Quit making yourself the king or the queen and chase the king. I love the words of this song, but man, at some point, every knee's gonna bow, every tongue's gonna confess that Jesus is Lord. You wanna do it while you're alive. Don't wait till you get to heaven to chase the king. You need to chase the king. I love what Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. I wanna know Christ. I don't know, do you wanna know Christ? Man, when you know the King, you know Christ. When you know the Christ, when you know the King, then you know what to do inside the kingdom because the Holy Spirit, one of the things that comes with the kingdom is Holy Spirit. Relationship with the Holy Spirit comes with the kingdom. And then you get to know what's inside the kingdom. And then you start, before you even know about the kingdom, you chase the King. He'll help you act like you're supposed to be in the kingdom. I know that's a tongue twister, but that's what happens. I want to know Christ, and I want to experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. Inside the kingdom is mighty power that you get from the king. You get the power from the king, and then when you're in the kingdom, then you have the power to run on inside the kingdom. I want to know that. I love the language the Apostle Paul wrote last night about Logos. I was looking up different things in the scriptures and just kind of geeking out on the scriptures, which is not me. And so pray for me. It's a new me, I don't know. New year, new me, I don't know. But the point is this. I'm like, dang it. He said, I want to know Christ. When you use the word know, it's like deep down inside your knower that you want to know Christ. That's a lot. I want to know him. Then he goes, I want to experience the power. The word experience is such a powerful thing. We had a billboard last year that said, come experience hope. Because experience, like, man, I want to be a part of that. I want to be in an immersive environment with the Spirit. A guy said to me, Pastor West, the church is going to grow. the church is going to grow because you guys have the word. He goes, in the worship there, the Spirit inhabits the worship of the people that worship there. And I'm like, thank you, God. What a compliment. I'm so glad he's not clapping for the message. I'm so glad he's not clapping for the worship. He goes, man, the Spirit kind of just, it kind of indwells inside there. I want to experience it. And he goes, I want to experience the power of worship. And he goes, and this is where it kind of stinks. He goes, I want to suffer with him. And I want to share in his death. He's ridiculous. Are you kidding me, the Apostle Paul? I love it. I think the Message translation says this. If I could get up on the cross with him, I would do it. I'm not saying that. I want to be able to say that. I want to be able to pray, oh God, let me get on the cross. Let me get on the cross. I was walking yesterday with Lance, and I take pictures of stuff. It's just who I am. And on the he has this patch on the back of his walking thing, and it says, take up your cross and follow Jesus. And you know what I thought? I got a picture of it. I'm like, that is so cool. But how many Christians are not taking up their cross and following after Jesus, denying themselves? I don't know about you. Aren't you tired of bumper stickers that we're not living out? Pastor West, preach this next week because all the heathens are on spring break. They need to hear this message. Don't clap too loud because I know some of y'all, you're taking off next Sunday. You're taking off next. I was like, that's so awesome. And dude, he knows me. When you know people, they know you. I'm like, dude, he's doing that. He's walking out his faith. I walked in a setup. We got done. He gave me, I got my first patch. That sounds so silly to you. I got these vests that you walk around in. I posted a video and some girl's like, is that a bulletproof vest, Pastor Wes? I'm like, I don't know. I wear the armor of God. Come on, breastplate of righteousness. I don't need full armor. church jokes. Like, he gave me one of those patches, my first patch. It says, I want to follow Christ. Our country needs Jesus, our families need Jesus, our communities need Jesus, our teachers need Jesus, our kids need Jesus, our schools need Jesus, our ballots, they need Jesus, our entertainment needs Jesus. Everything you know, I want to make sure I include it in there, hit a couple hot topics for some of y'all. We need Jesus. We need the King. It's time to chase the King. We need the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We need that. I want to invite you to stand to your feet all across the way. I want to invite our prayer team to come forward. If you're here today and you're hearing me say you need the King, I'm asking you today, do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? You need a relationship with Jesus Christ. You can't be in the kingdom without relationship with Jesus Christ. If you're here today, you need a relationship with Jesus Christ, I want to encourage you to come see our prayer team and say, hey, I don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, but I want one. I don't even know what that looks like, but I want one. Maybe you're here today and you're just tired of chasing. And maybe you want to ask one of these guys, men or women, say, hey, would you pray for me? I'm just tired of chasing. I don't know about you, but I've chased things before. I've chased church. I've chased good things. Some of you guys are chasing good things. I'm sorry. I'll talk about that next week. Maybe you don't want to come. But we're chasing good things. Some of us are chasing bad things. But I know this. We need to chase the kingdom things. We need to chase kingdom things. People are inside the kingdom. So I want to invite you all across the way. Maybe you don't want to come forward. Would you make your seat an altar? Maybe you need to ask God to get heads bowed, eyes closed all across the way. Maybe you need to say, God, what am I chasing? God, why am I chasing it? Maybe you make a commitment and say, God, I'm tired of chasing. And maybe you make a commitment today to tell God, God, I'm done chasing. I'm no longer going to chase after things, God. I'm going to chase after the one who gave his life for me, who died on the cross for my sins. I'm going to chase that. From now on, I'm going to hail Jesus. I'm going to hail King Jesus. He's the maker. He's the creator. I'm just going to worship you, God. I'm no longer chasing my stuff. I'm not chasing me. I'm not chasing gold. I'm not chasing glory, God. I'm not chasing me. God, I'm chasing you, God, because you're the only one that's worth chasing.
Thank you so much for joining us. If you'd like to know more about Hope Church, please feel free to visit us at hopewintergarden.com or connect with us on Facebook and Instagram at Hope Winter Garden. We hope you have a blessed day.